Michelle Hecker-Davis, welcome to A Rounded About.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
We're glad to have you here. And I want to start out with some statistics from the Center for Disease Control. Mm-hmm. They say about 11% of children aged 4 to 17 have been diagnosed with ADHD, and that's an increasing diagnosis. And I know some people are going to hear that, and they're just going to go, what? Because it seems like it's almost kind of trendy to get diagnosed with it, and there's this kind of idea of like, oh, my kid's just being a normal kid, but let's give him a pill so he's a little bit easier to deal with.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you say that, because it's even gone up, that statistic, 11%, since the last time I knew about it. Some of the things that you want to look for as far as symptoms go for someone who has ADHD is an inability to focus. And this would be even in something that, you know, a lot of times a parent will say, well, they can play a video game all day long, but they can't pay any attention in school. If that's the case, what you want to look for is what's causing their struggle to pay attention.
Right.
And from a cognitive perspective, there are two cognitive skills that directly relate to attention difficulties. One is processing speed, and one is working memory. And you maybe have heard about this executive functioning that's kind of a buzzword these days, that's talking about how different cognitive skills affect learning.
Yes.
And so these skills, we're able actually to pinpoint and train those skills and improve them so that you find someone who is able to stay focused for longer periods of time.
That makes a lot of sense, because, well, one of the things I've heard about ADD is it's not necessarily exactly a deficit. It's more, as you were saying, you can really concentrate on certain things to the point where it's almost unhealthy, the amount of concentration you give to it. But on other things, you can't concentrate at all. So it's more just not having the appropriate amount of concentration at the appropriate time.
Right. And some other things you look for besides just an inability to focus is a short attention span, being easily distracted, procrastinating, especially with schoolwork and with homework. Poor internal supervision or impulse control, fidgeting, daydreaming, things like that, poor planning and organizational skills. Those are all things that contribute and that you find in someone with attention. Now, I do want to mention that there are three different types of attention.
Okay.
Sustained attention, which is just the ability to stay focused. Selective attention, which is being able to stay focused when there is another task present and not getting distracted by that. And then divided attention, which is actually the ability to kind of multitask and focus on maybe it's like taking notes and listening to the teacher at the same time, something like that. And so there are different types of attention. So you may have someone who's in more of an ADD category without the hyperactivity, which is just general inattentiveness, and they have trouble with staying focused when there are multiple things going on. But you might have someone who is in the ADHD hyperactivity category who struggles with all those types of attention. And that's where it's really a struggle in school.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all kind of thing here.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And so when you go and you get a diagnosis of ADHD and you get put on medication, it really is kind of working it to help these symptoms. But, you know, there are side effects to that. There's, I hear all the time, loss of appetite and depression and all these things that come along with taking these meds. And it's only dealing with the symptoms of inattentiveness, not actually what's causing it. And that's what we're trying to do with our screening, is see if it's a cognitive cause. And there are other factors.
See if there's
diet.
A way to treat it without, you know, using medicine necessarily. If you need medicine, you should go to a physician.
Yes.
But if you don't, have to have it.
Exactly. And there are many who have ADHD and the medicine really helps them. But again, there are side effects in many cases. And if there is another opportunity out there, another option out there, it's worth exploring.
Something that's interesting, the CDC says that it's much more prevalent in boys than in girls.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that at LearningRx?
We do see that, and I've heard that statistic before. But, you know, it shows up differently in girls, I think. Girls are more kind of inattentive, and boys are more fidgety and, you know, trying to touch other things and talk to other people and get into other things. And so it just looks kind of different. But it's, again, kind of a blanket term for all these varying cases.
You've got a free screening coming up, as you were mentioning. When and where is that?
Yes, it is at LearningRx, which is near Hamilton Place Mall, next to Bed Bath & Beyond, in that shopping plaza. on the far left-hand side. It's on Saturday, the 24th, and it's from 12:30 to 4:30, but you do need an appointment. So if you can call 423-305-1599, so that's 305-1599, you'll be able to schedule an appointment within that time frame.
Just totally out of left field here. Something interesting the CDC shows with their statistics, mm-hmm. it seems like diagnoses are much more prevalent in the Southeast than the rest of the country. Mm-hmm. And I know LearningRx has franchises all around the United States. Mm-hmm. Do you have any insight about why that might be?
I just actually listened to a webinar put on by Attitude Magazine. It's ADD Attitude Magazine. Who talked about people in the Southeast, and it actually talked about the increase in diagnoses of ADHD, and it talked about the Southeast and why it would be stronger there. What I basically gather from it, but I would encourage you to research it and do some more research if you're really interested, is that it actually has to do with poverty level in schools and income levels, and you're seeing the lower income families having more difficulty with their children and the school maybe not helping as much, and you're getting a lot more diagnosis there.
Interesting.
And so, I don't know. It is interesting, but...
Well, that's something we'll definitely have to look into. Okay, one more time. Yeah. What is that website?
It's learningrx.com. And if you do /Chattanooga-East, that'll take you to our website. But you can find all the information you need, and specifically research... on a lot of studies that have been done with students at learningrx.org. And that's not just LearningRx, but all the latest in the changing brain and what you can do about changing your brain.
Michelle Hecker-Davis, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.